the short answer is that Ebola is a type of virus that is the kind that mutates all the time, and chances are good that it has been mutating for a long time. In this particular case, what appears to have happened is, as these viruses do, it mutated into a strain that was able to jump into humans, and because of human encroachment into the forest and decline of other animal populations that might have shielded us from the virus as it was in its natural reservoir, it was allowed to propagate within its natural reservoir, which is very likely bats. And as humans encroached into the forest and interacted with the bats more and more over the course of the last 50 or so years, the probability of spillovers from bats into humans increased. And unfortunately, at this point, the virus is now established itself within its natural reservoir, and continuous interactions and encroachments by humans into the forest has led to several instances of the spillover of this new strain of Ebola into humans.
There are other infectious diseases that you mentioned in an article that was seen in the Baltimore Sun, and you mentioned SARS and MERS and bird flu. Are these types of viruses, do they have the same type of, I guess, different strains?
Yes. The type of virus that we're talking about, there's two types. There's RNA and DNA. RNA is the type that is Ebola, HIV, SARS, MERS, avian flu, etc. And RNA tends to mutate faster than DNA viruses. So there's two types of that. There's single-strand or double-strand. Single-strand viruses tend to mutate faster than double-strand. And almost all of the really bad pathogens that come from animals are single-strand RNA viruses, just like Ebola. And the reason the single-strand RNA viruses mutate so quickly is just because of their biochemistry. That is what allows them to continuously mutate so quickly within animal populations, and so, not on purpose, but find new mutants that allow themselves to jump easily into humans.
What lies ahead for humans regarding future outbreaks of infectious diseases such as Ebola?
2 years ago, no one necessarily would have foreseen or predicted an outbreak of 20,000 cases in West Africa of Ebola, because all the previous outbreaks had been on the order of no more than 1,000 or even in the range of 500. And suddenly we saw this very large outbreak in West Africa. So the public health community is monitoring for all of these diseases. But it's worth remembering that the worst of all of these types of RNA viruses that jump from animals to humans is HIV, which was very good at establishing itself in humans and has, of course, killed 40 million people and infected approximately that number alive today. So the chances are good that in these tropical rainforests of South America, Africa, and Southeast Asia, there is very high biodiversity there, different types of animal species that harbor different types of viruses. And there are rarer viruses that the general public is not aware of that the public health community is quite concerned about. You mentioned a few of them. I would mention that the story of Nipah virus in Southeast Asia is also one that is alarming and scary. Bird flu for the same reason. There is very good reason to believe that if the trends that are bringing this about are not abated quickly, we will see a worse epidemiologic pattern of worse and new RNA viruses or worse outbreaks in the relatively near future.
It seems like it's going to take both a collaboration with governments and scientists doing this. How are they going to be able to come together?
That remains to be seen, to be sure. I agree with you, and I would add the general public also really have a role to play. All three of them are certainly capable of doing their job. We've seen evidence of scientists doing the right thing, various governments in some places doing the right thing, and individuals taking ownership of protecting their own lands or maybe reducing the amount of resources we demand from the rainforest, whether locally or the things that are exported from those countries. We've seen all of those individually. We face many of these, what I would call slow motion emergencies, that are really emergencies and have to happen now. And it's not just these, but the sharp growth of the human population or climate change, any number of the other environmental emergencies that are going on. We have yet to really put forward our best effort. And it really depends on all of those efforts doing better than they've done to this point.